FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. Today is 2/12/19. Well, the tax law has reared its ugly head. Some winners, some losers, and some in-betweens. I'm sure of that. Hey, as always, if you've got a tax issue or something that's bugging you about the new tax law, email us, kl@kerrylutz.com. So what are the effects on Joe Sixpack, the ordinary person in America, of the tax law, the new tax law? We're talking with Al Casado. So Al, you're Joe Sixpack. It's a whole new world out there. What happens to you this year?
Well, yeah, it is a new world out there. Right now, if you guys can recall, when we first started talking about this, all these tax changes, Congress and the president wanted to bring it down to four different tax brackets. We were at seven. They wanted to bring it down to four and simplify it. Well, when all was said and done, as usual, as things go down in Washington, we still ended up with seven tax brackets. So we previously had seven. And today we have seven. What they did do is that they lowered the marginal taxes, tax brackets, and they expanded the tax brackets themselves. So now there is more room. So in previous times, we were dealing with much higher marginal tax. So now we have marginal taxes. If you're married, filing jointly, they start at 10. We introduced 12, and we introduced 22%. That covers up to about $165,000 worth of income. So again, they expanded the income and reduced the marginal tax brackets. That was the very first, that's the first big change that they did.
Interesting. So what has it meant? Because a lot of you out there who are higher income individuals in high tax states are paying a lot more money, aren't you?
Yeah, and high tax states are getting hit, and mainly they're getting hit because of SALT, state and local taxes. Under the new tax plan with SALT, they capped it at $10,000. So some of these states, like in the Northeast and California and things like that, where last year they were probably seeing tax refunds. This year, some of those people might be shocked because of the fact that it's capped at $10,000. That's another big hit for a lot of those what we call the blue states.
Yeah. If you're in a blue state and you're making you're paying a lot of taxes, it doesn't even matter if you're making a lot. If you're paying a lot, you're going to get killed on this deal, right?
Absolutely. It's going to be what we call I've been talking about this tax plan, I call it the good, the bad, and the boring. This is definitely one of those bad things. Now, the other big change that happened is that they did change the deductions. Now, with the deductions, last year we had a personal deduction of $12,300. And this is, again, for married filing jointly. What they did now is they almost doubled it, and they brought it up to about $24,000 for married filing jointly. So what that means is, an example of that is that, let's say you were paying $10,000 in mortgage interest, and you were paying another $5,000 in charitable contributions or anything like that. That would bring your total up to $16,000. So in last year, you would have itemized so you can take advantage of those deductions. This year, $16,000 won't even get you close to the $24,000 of deduction. And so that means that we're going to probably see more people filing under the short form than itemizing.
So is that a good thing, a bad thing? What do you think?
Well, it all depends. It all depends, because we also, we lose some of those deductions too. When you culminate it with the fact that this is another big change that they made, they got rid of the personal exemption. And if you remember last year, every living person got a $4,050 exemption. Well, that's gone. So you know, take an individual who's probably maybe who might be retired last year that would have had $12,300 in personal deductions. Then combined, they would have had $8,000 in personal exemption. That already brings them up to about $20,000. So you can see that what looks good might not be as good as some would think. But some people will see what we call some relief. Some will stay the same, and there'll be some out there, that, especially again, like we just spoke earlier, that are going to get a little bit of a sticker shock.
Yeah. So this tax bill really was to benefit business more first and foremost, right?
Well, absolutely, because everything that was done for business does not sunset. And a lot of people don't know that these laws that were done for, you know, ordinary Americans will sunset in 2025 and 2026. So what we see today is a very short window of some type of tax relief. And you know, you're starting to hear the chatter in Washington now where, you know, they want to tax this and you know, the big word is, you know, raising taxes. And, you know, eventually they have to go back up. I mean, we're sitting under such a massive debt load that something's going to be done. But I think I tell my clients, I say, hey, I think this is probably the lowest tax brackets we'll see for a long time.
Interesting. So you're supposed to pay your taxes now because they're lower. And so if you have an IRA converted to a Roth, because you're going to be paying lower taxes.
Yes. You know, this is a big, you know, this is some big, if you're, you know, between the ages of 50 and 65, for sure, you should be looking at that. The only thing you have to remember is that one big change that they did get rid of when it comes to Roth conversions, and I'm glad you brought that up, is because they got rid of recharacterization. You know, before, you know, you can have somebody convert a Roth, and once you did your taxes, if it didn't work out for you, you can just, you know, say oops and call it a mulligan, and you get a redo and reclassify that, recharacterize that. Well, now you can't. So when you do your Roth conversions, you have to be very sure you're working with somebody who really understands it and knows them, because once you do it, you can never, there's no more mulligans, it's gone. It's a done deal.
So you can't switch back, huh?
And not switch back. But this is a time that, you know, to look at some of these taxable things that you have right now and start paying some of the taxes on some of these things, because I really don't think that what it's around the corner is going to be to our favor, even though this might not be the greatest plan in the world, but it still works for quite a few people. What's coming around the corner, I think, is going to be much heavier taxation.
Yeah, I can understand what you're saying, and it's a little bit distressing for sure. How has it worked for the business economy? You think it's been a net plus, or did they just use the money to buy back their shares?
You know what? You know, it's interesting that even though the stock market didn't do well last year and stuff like that, but it was doing previously well, we haven't seen wages go up. So wages have been stagnant. So I don't see, you know, there were that early clatter, you know, chatter out there where some of the companies were giving away, you know, some bonuses and stuff like that. But we're not hearing much of that right now. And then the actual wages really have not climbed really all that much. So, Have we really seen the trickle down to our the ordinary Americans? Not as much as what I think some people expected.
Mm-hmm. So all in all, did it do the economy any good or not?
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next.
Egypt is on the verge, once again, becoming a world-renowned gold producer. The Golden Age is being rediscovered. For millennia, ancient Egyptian kingdoms prospered from unparalleled riches. Pharaohs built their empires and flaunted their abundant wealth that was made possible by the country's resource-rich gold deposits. Despite this rich history, modern Egypt remains one of the most underdeveloped gold mining countries in the world. Aton Resources is at the center of the modern Egyptian mining world, diligently working both as the only public exploration company in Egypt today and as the advocate for mining reform with the Egyptian government. However, those that arrive early, like Eitan, will reap the best rewards. Eitan's discovery of the legendary lost mountain of gold at Rudruin and its current aggressive drilling program there could potentially reap those rewards. Eitan Resources is focused on its 100% owned Abu Marwat concession in the Arabian Nubian Shield, located 200 kilometers north of Sentimin Sakari's world-class gold mine. Eitan possesses first-mover advantage in the underfollowed jurisdiction of Egypt, which is currently undergoing mining reform. To stay on top of Eitan's latest drill results and news, go to EitanResources.com. Eitan trades on the Toronto Venture Exchange under the ticker AAN and on the OTC under the ticker ANLBF.
The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Well, anytime that you can get some type of tax relief, you would hope that there's some plus to it. So, you know, I'm not a downer on it. I'm certainly not as excited as I was when I first heard about the plan, because once you really dive into it, the tax savings are not as big or as significant as some might hope. However, the fact that they stayed lower and that you still have some opportunities to take advantage of certain things, then, you know, I still consider it a good thing, you know.
That positive, all things considered.
Yeah, I'm more on the positive side. Yeah, I'm slightly above neutral.
Slightly above neutral.
Yeah, if you can put it that way.
All right. Well, hey, it's better than nothing. In other words.
Correct, and it's better than, you know, getting hit really hard with taxes at a time when the economy really can't stand it. Just coming out of, you know, what it's gone through over the last 10 years and stuff like that. So yes.
Well, you know, millions of. Of employees did receive bonuses from large companies. We saw utilities cut their rates because their tax rates are a substantial part of what they charge. And we did see some genuine benefits here, but it looks like those benefits have eroded over time.
A little bit. Yeah. The initial hit was vibrant. I think now when the dust has settled, everybody's kind of seeing that, oh boy, you know, there's still some things in here that work for some and not for others.
Yeah. So not everybody got a tax cut for sure, especially if you're a hard, struggling attorney making $500,000 a year in Manhattan, in New York State, in California, in Illinois. You took it on the chin.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So no wonder people are, you know, one other unintended benefit here, or result, if you will, Al, is more and more people moving to low tax red states such as Florida, Texas, and Tennessee, Washington State, Nevada, where they have no income tax, no state income tax. You think that's going to continue and accelerate?
Well, I think that I don't know if it's going to accelerate. I think it's going to continue at some rate. But again, because these laws will sunset, I think that the closer we get to that 2025, 2026, I think some of that will slow down, because then it's a crapshoot of what we're going to get next. So who knows? Maybe those people moving to those states are moving back. Who knows what's going to happen then?
I think once they leave, they don't come back, because they're still high tax states. Effectively, you're paying double the tax just about that you would have paid.
Yeah.
You know.
Even though now
before,
when you move, you know, that's another thing they got rid of. You know, you can no longer deduct any moving expenses either, unless you're in the military.
Really?
Yes.
Wonder why. Couldn't have been that much money. It couldn't have cost them that much tax revenue to have people deduct moving expenses. Don't get that.
I don't get that. I didn't get that one either, but that's part of the new, the new tax law.
Oh, well, love it or leave it. So, but I think once people leave these high tax states, they're not going to, they're just not going to go along with it. They're not going back. There's no going back.
Yeah.
You know, once you experience not paying state income taxes in Florida, as well as the nice moderate winters, why would you go back?
I agree with you. I hope to someday be one of those going down that way.
Yeah, well, I did it 7 years ago. The handwriting was on the wall here. you know, demographically in so many different ways. So you got to, you know, you just knew that these states were going to go bankrupt. And Illinois, it's just, maybe it's just the straw that breaks the camel's back in Illinois and pushes it over the edge.
Yes.
Could well be, right?
I agree. I think so. We're in for some interesting times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Interesting times indeed. It has been an interesting year, has it not?
Yeah, but last year and the beginning of this year has been very interesting. I think we're going to get more of the same for this year of last year, of anything with a little bit more volatility.
Yeah.
So, again, I think we're in for another interesting year also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and to go back to the tax law, we have seen some companies locate factories here, foreign companies locate factories because the taxes are so much lower. And you've seen some economic activity besides stock buybacks, right? I mean, this
is true. Yeah, we saw that, and we also saw it in the unemployment rate, too. It's really maintained pretty low. So there has been that effect on the corporate side.
You think that was from the tax cut, that more companies hired as a result?
I think that a lot of that had to do with the fact that there's more favorable tax conditions for some of these corporations. So I think right now, I think that has helped. I think it's been a positive for the unemployment.
Yeah, so the overall economy. So if business is doing better, invariably individuals will do better too, to a point, if they don't blow it all on stock buybacks. So, but overall, had to have been a net plus for businesses for sure. A lot more hiring taking place, a lot more capital investment. Let's not forget that, Al. It really was pro-capital investment, this whole deal.
Yes, yes. I think that was a big, I think that was a big plus for the economy. I do agree with you on that.
Yeah, so long-term, I think the jury's still out. Short-term, it had some positives. It's definitely had some negatives, no question about it. So The final verdict has not yet been handed down. So let's see where it goes. Al, where's the best place to find you these days?
Hey, you can always look us up on the web at summitgp.com, SUMMITGP.com. You can find us on Facebook, CKS Summit Group, or you can always call us 586-286-5820.
All right. Hey, we appreciate you coming on. And any questions for Al, any issues you have with the tax law, I would love to hear from you. We just put out an article entitled "They're Voting with Their Feet," because the Wall Street Journal wrote an article about Governor Cuomo of New York saying, "Oh my God, the tax bill cost us $2.3 billion. We have a deficit." I mean, people are moving out of there. Trust it. Trust me, take it from me. In northern Palm Beach County, you see a plethora of license plates from New York, from Connecticut, from New Jersey. You always see them from Illinois, from other high tax states. I mean, you'd always see it. It seems like there's more new housing developments opening up, Al, weekly, and selling out, even with higher interest rates, even with lower housing demand. Houses down here are selling not quite as fast as they were a couple of months back, 6-8 months ago, but they're still selling. So that's all the proof you need. I am waiting to see the U-Haul statistics, Al, to see who moved to, how many trucks have come in to Texas and Florida. Those are the big two. But Tennessee is booming. If you've been to Nashville is a boom town, and it's because of no state income tax. So those high state taxes, those high tax states should learn something from this and try to make their operations more efficient rather than soaking the rich, as it were. Anyway, Al, we got to run. Hey, if you're watching this on YouTube, listening on YouTube or through the podcast, please subscribe, like, and share. It really helps me a lot when you do that. Helps the show, helps get the message out. Hey, Twitter feed's at Kerry Lutz, and Facebook is Financial Survival Network. Al, we'll talk to you again real soon. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me, Kerry. Have a wonderful day.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next.
Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports.
The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.